Today we're looking at a book that I'm familiar with, actually. It's called The Boys Club by Michael Warner. It's I suppose it wouldn't be unfair to call it an expose of what's been going on behind closed doors in the AFL for the last 20 years, and it's ruffled a few feathers.
It has indeed, Martin, yes. The AFL is an interesting beast in terms of the books that get published about it. It has its own, I won't quite say in-house publishing company, but certainly a publishing company very closely allied to it, who publish a range of books on AFL and both the players and the history of the game and so on and so forth. And then every now and then there'll be something that's done completely outside of the AFL's controls, and this is one of those books. And written by Melbourne journalist Michael Warner, who has an interesting little tale to tell in this book about how when the AFL are cross and grumpy and they don't like you anymore, they go out of their way to make your life as unpleasant as possible. And Michael Warner did an article a few years ago about the AFL, or a series of articles, which the AFL were not happy about at all. And Andrew Demetriou at the time apparently lent on the Michael Warner's boss, or in fact the CEO of the company that Michael Warner was working for, and asked for him to be basically taken off the article, no longer cover football in Melbourne. And then subsequently later that year, Michael Warner went to get his accreditation to cover the finals and wasn't given any.
Right.
Of course, he knew exactly why he hadn't been given any accreditation.
Yeah. Well, the Boys Club's probably a very good name for it, because it's very in-house, but also it's exposed a bit of misogyny and things like that as well.
Yes, I haven't read that chapter precisely, but there is quite a big chapter in here about a number of cases of bullying within the AFL
administration,
and how one particular person was moved out as quietly as possible without causing any major media problems, and the person who had suffered the bullying, yes, was paid out, but the condition was, well, we'll pay you some money as compensation, but you have the confidentiality clause and you're not allowed to tell anyone at all exactly what happened or how much money we gave you and so on and so forth. So they can be very, very hard-nosed about the way they deal with things.
Us Aussie rules fans, we tend to look down our nose a bit at the NRL and we say, look at all the trouble their players are getting into and the bad media and you know, their attitude towards women and things like that as well. But apparently there's been a bit of that going on in the AFL, but they've just been able to manage to keep a lid on it until now.
Yes. That's another chapter where that's examined as well. It goes on. The senior executives seem to basically cast a blind eye to it. If it becomes that bad that they just can't ignore it, then they use every trick in the book to sort of basically whitewash it or shuffle it under the carpet as quickly as possible.
It's been a big seller in Melbourne, apparently, Tim. Not surprisingly.
No. It's been selling very, very well in Melbourne, and I think for anyone who's interested in the background behind the AFL, how it works, particularly under the guidance of Andrew Demetriou and Gillon McLachlan, this is a real insight into power, the politics, and the sway that AFL seems to be able to weave over government. And it's quite extraordinary that it seems to be able to extract remarkable deals in terms of funding or part funding of teams and programs and the development of infrastructure. There's a very interesting chapter in here relating to the establishment of the Gold Coast Suns and the redevelopment of the Oval down
at Carrara.
Staggering sums of money used, and the AFL only chipped in about $10 million. And the Queensland taxpayers, the federal taxpayers from around Australia through the federal government, taxpayers through the Queensland government and local government taxes basically funded all of it for, you know, pretty much the exclusive use of the AFL.
Don't get me started on the Gold Coast. It's a bit of a sore point with those of us that want a Tasmanian team. It's been...
It is a very sore point. Yeah, and both Gold Coast and Greater Western Sydney, should we describe it as the shenanigans that went on behind the scenes with the establishment of both of those clubs, get some pretty detailed examination from Michael Warner, and it doesn't show the AFL up in a very good light.
Okay, no. It sounds like it's a must-read for any sports fan, really. It's not just something that's typical of the AFL, but it's been, as I said, they've probably kept a lead on it until now, and it's worth reading by the sound of it.
Yeah, as you say, Martin, it is for people who are not interested in AFL, but who are interested in elite sport and the way elite sport governs itself, and I use that term very loosely, this is very interesting reading.
Yeah, well, it's a multi-million dollar industry, as we know now, and there's vested interests at stake here, isn't there?
Oh, my word, yes.
Sounds like a great book. Tim, thank you for sharing that with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Martin. Thanks for having me on.